Welcome to Fellowship Talks, your weekly connection to the life and ministry of Fellowship Bible Church. It is our desire that this podcast will reinforce your worship on Sundays and encourage you as you live your life for Christ this week. Here are your hosts, Dan Schaefer and Amy Scrivanos.
Welcome to Fellowship Talks. I am your host, Dan Schaefer. I'm here with my co-host, Amy Scrivanos.
Hello, everybody.
Hey, Amy. Fellowship Talks is made specifically for Fellowship Bible Church, and we have multiple campuses. The West Little Rock campus, the Cabot campus, the Benton campus, Fellowship Espanol, and the soon-to-be Fellowship Midtown. We'll get into that a little bit more here in a few minutes, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we are glad you are here with us today. We have another great podcast episode for you to listen to. This one, I think, and I pray, is going to be really encouraging to your hearts as you guys listen to this one. So, Amy, before we get into the podcast, though, it's the holiday season.
Yes.
This is December 12th. Only 2 weeks until Christmas, 13 days.
Oh, wow. I should start my shopping.
You should start your shop. 13 days to get your shopping done.
I can do it.
All right. Yeah. Did Marty get a gift yet?
Yeah. For me? Yeah.
No. Did you get a gift for Marty?
I can't tell. It's a secret.
Yeah. Because he listens to the podcast
and he'll
know what his gift is. So Thanksgiving is done. We are headed towards Christmas. You guys are going to want to listen for our next episode that's coming out. We're actually going to release an episode next week, a special Christmas episode. And we'll have with us Clarissa McNeil and Joel Pfeiffer from our Benton campus. And they will be sharing some Christmas songs with us. And we'll have some Christmas singing going on. They'll be playing some music.
It'll be a great one to listen to with your kids, with your family.
That's right. Just gather
everybody around.
This is a good one if you're driving, if you're traveling,
mm-hmm.
To listen to throw on in the car while you're driving. Or download on your phone so you can listen to in the airplane while you're flying across the country for Christmas.
Yep.
Or if you're making meals for Christmas, getting ready for your Christmas meals and your family, just throw it on in the background and listen to this one. It's going to be fun next week.
Yeah, I'm excited about that.
That's good. So as we get started, or as we prep for Christmas, we had something else that's really exciting happening here at Fellowship. We mentioned it a little bit earlier, but Fellowship Midtown is just about to officially launch.
And when's their launch date?
January 13th. And they're going to meet at First Church of the Nazarene at 5 p.m. Every Sunday at 5 p.m. is their worship services. So Fellowship Midtown has been meeting for the last 4 months, once a month for a worship service and then once a month for home gatherings,
mm-hmm.
kind of large, small groups, large mm-hmm. D group feel. But they're kicking off officially as an official campus in January.
That's so exciting.
And as part of that campus, we have some of our guests today with us. We have Myron and Clarissa McWhorter.
Not to be confused with McNeil, which actually happens a lot.
Oh, it probably does.
So yeah. Clarissa McNeil and I both have brown curly hair. We both like red lipstick, but I cannot sing. And so that's my clarifying moment.
You are Clarissa McWhorter, not the singer.
Not the singer McNeil, but I do love her.
Have you met her?
Yes.
Do you know Clarissa?
And there's another woman here at church, Carissa. So the three of us like to pose for pictures and really confuse people.
Yeah. Oh.
She has brown curly hair too. So.
Carissa Hartage.
Yeah.
Shout out, Carissa. She was on, we shared one of her stories earlier this year on the podcast too. So, all right. You guys excited about being here today to share your story?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. How's your eye? I got to ask because you keep blinking. You keep blinking, Clarissa.
I never thought it was possible to get toothpaste in your eye, but I officially did it today.
And I was like, is this the first time you've done that? Like three times to me in my life.
Yeah.
So it's bothersome to have toothpaste in your eye?
Oh, yeah. No, it burns like fire.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
So don't try it.
No.
How did this happen?
Not doctor approved.
So, just stay away from the toothpaste in your eye. Well, Myron and Clarissa have a story that we asked, Amy and I asked them to come share, because it's so cool to see how God's been moving in your lives over the last year. You guys have taken a big step of faith and sold your home in Chennault to move to Midtown to be a part of the Fellowship Midtown campus. And we just want to hear some more of that story. So why don't you guys take us back to when you feel like this story kind of started in your lives?
Yeah.
Sure. I think for us, it didn't start so much with the knowledge of knowing that we were going to Midtown, but it kind of started whenever we started looking at another avenue for Clarissa. She was deciding to get out of the work and the career that she had been doing for many years and wanted to spend more time at home with the kids. And we were kind of, really, that's what kind of kicked this all off. Mm-hmm. What can we do to move that take that transition and move it for our family?
That's a big transition to make.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It was big. She had a great career, and was very good at what she was doing. And it was a second income for our family. Mm-hmm. So it was a very big deal. But God, through that was very, very helpful, and just really showed his.
Yeah, I think there were many years of preparing mm-hmm. into this season. Mm-hmm. The big one, though, was 2017. That's when I had quit my job. And, through just some life experiences, we were going through a lot of spiritual warfare, not mm-hmm. really between us and our family, but around our family. Mm-hmm. And going into the Christmas season a year ago, I mean, it feels like a long time ago, but really it's just 1 year.
Yeah. Lots happened.
Just family talks at the table. One night, we were sitting with our kids and Myron was just talking about things that we need to be preparing our heart for and, what New Year's resolutions are. And he kind of threw out the term, find your purpose. And I didn't say it that night, but, it just kept coming back. And so over the next few weeks, I kept thinking, find your purpose. So our New Year's resolution board, which I had planned to change every month through the year of 2018, I wrote find your purpose, #2018.
Hmm.
And so that just kind of, it was right there in the middle of the kitchen. We explained it to our kids. We had people come over and just ask, what is that? And we're like, we don't know. We're going to find our purpose. We have a bigger purpose in our family. Don't know what it is yet, but we want to do something. We want to be a part of something big.
So this family devotional time at the table, Myron, what was God doing on your heart that put you here in this place?
Well, through my, morning talks and just my devotion with him, he was placing on my heart for many months, that a change and something was about to happen. I really had no idea what it was, but it just felt like to me that I needed to kind of get ready for the next step.
He was already building your trust.
He was. There was a lot of things that he's done through my life for many, many years, and I've learned to, when I start having these feelings and start seeing these things, that I just kind of go with it because I know something's about to happen.
Both of you are feeling that. Both of you are knowing that the Lord was starting some sort of transition.
It was a yearning for something. Yeah, something.
It was. Mm-hmm. And then with him being faithful and opening opportunities for me and our family to increase our income and be able to, Clarissa was able to quit work. And that was something that was huge in getting this whole thing going.
Mm. Yeah.
With her out of the workforce now, she can focus in on our family and on our kids, but she is so oriented, career-oriented, and just driven that there was something more that there was for her as well.
So what age are your kids?
Our kids are 9 and 6.
9 and 6. Yeah. So it's a busy time in your family, the kids.
It is. And, this isn't really a bragging point, but I'm not a baby mama. Mm-hmm. Love other people's babies. Mm-hmm. But, I just think that God's timing in me leaving my work, my career, is perfect because it's like I'm so much more in tune with what they're doing and involved and doing the school things that I didn't really have the desire before because I was so focused on my career.
Mm.
And so it's just it's a good phase right now. We're in a good transition period.
It's a good season for your family.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So walking into 2018.
Yeah. A few months later.
Yeah. Find your purpose, #2018.
We're still trying to find that purpose. We came on Sunday morning. It was in March. I should have done some fact checking. There was a sermon regarding missions. And they talked about all the current great missions that Fellowship is involved in. And then they get to the big showstopper where what they're going to do next. Mm-hmm. And I think the map kind of did this narrowing down thing and the pin ended right in Little Rock. And I was like, well, that's weird. We're here. Why would they do that? And then they go more specific into the neighborhoods and they say Midtown. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, what does that look like? What does that mean? And then Tim Caldwell and Stephanie walked up on stage and, we love them anyway. and we probably would have gone with anybody, but we do love them. So they give, Tim gives his mission about, or his vision, what he thinks Midtown Fellowship will look like. And I mean, I'm telling you, I was at the edge of my seat. I really was. And then it all kind of came to a close. The worship song ended. I look over at Meyer and I'm like, we're going. And he's like,
wait, right there in that
service? No, I did. And he goes, you mean lunch? Where are we going? And I said, no. I said, we're going to Midtown. And he goes, hold on. So, you know.
Yeah, I
pump
said,
the brakes. Well,
I said, I understand what you're
feeling.
You're feeling, but we need to pray about this. You know. And about, was it a week or two later, we're like, yes, we're in.
We did. So, we spent a good solid week.
Yeah.
We didn't really talk to each other, which was not... I mean, we did. We lived together. But about this,
right, right.
You know, my conversations were with God, and you know, I wasn't sharing that just yet because it's like I still was like, you want to make sure, you know. And then we talked, and we thought it sounded like the right plan for us.
It was more than sounded. I mean, it fit. The only questions were, how is this going to happen?
And where?
Where? And in the time frame that we needed to work. I mean, there was like four major hurdles that I was looking at that needed to...
What were some of those hurdles?
Well, we needed to sell our house in a timely fashion.
So you wanted to actually move to Midtown to
be
part of the campus.
Yeah, we were currently living as far west Chenal as you can go.
Yep.
I always said, you know, it's like the county line was our backyard.
So we had to move quickly. We had to get us, you know, of course.
Well, I don't know if quickly. It was like under the right circumstances.
Right.
Like like I said, this situation was his details. I was I was kind of the vision, and you know, he didn't want to just give the house away. I mean, we had a good home.
Yeah,
we really did. And it's a home we brought our kids home to, and we'd been there for 8 years, 7 years. So we listed our home.
We listed our
home. It took some time to find the right realtor, found that, listed the house.
We had to find the right realtor, had to get the right price for it, you know, wanted to sell it quickly. And then, you know, one of the major hurdles is, how are we going to find a place over there? I mean, it's very difficult to find real estate in Heights Hillcrest.
Yeah.
You know,
in a price that's
in an affordable price.
Comfortable.
Yeah. Yeah, you're not swapping houses here. You're not getting a comparable house.
We went from a 2007 home to a 1939 home. So that's
lots of character
big
and
change.
Charm.
That's how I would list it. But
no,
going back to our house, we listed and it sold for full price within a week.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that was just one of those things I was like, okay. You know, if this is meant to be, it couldn't be any more complicated. And it wasn't so
simple. One thing that I think is like affirming in that too for y'all, I remember you telling me that you had tried to sell your house before and it had a hard time selling it.
Several years
the fact
before.
That it had sold so quickly, I'm sure was an encouragement to you guys of like, okay, the Lord is giving us favor in this to continue moving in this direction.
Somebody told me once, and this is when we tried to sell our house 3 or 4 years ago. It was hard. It was a not nice process. We were fighting, and then when we decided to take it off the market, it's just this weight off our shoulders. And somebody said to me once, they're like, you know, you don't realize you're swimming against the stream until you quit. And it's like, we were swimming against the stream. And this process, it's like, I feel like we're being pushed with the current. I mean, it's been that fast and that clear.
It was a whole different feeling than for what we were trying to do the first time.
Yeah.
And I think it really prepared our hearts to accept this is what's, you know, this is God's
our journey.
Will.
That's cool.
So you sold your house and you moved in with
my mother.
Your mother for
9 weeks.
Love Karma Gonzalez.
Shout out, Mimi.
For 9 weeks.
For 9 weeks. And when we did move in with her, we did not have a house. We had not found one. And when we thought it was short term, we're like, oh, we can do a couple weeks. And then we realized we still didn't have a house. And then one day we went and looked at a rental house because, I mean, we had kids and a dog. You can't live with Mimi forever. I mean, I guess you can.
Right. I mean, we definitely had a set time frame that we you know, we wanted to get somewhere to get the kids ready for school, you know, in August. And so we wanted to be somewhere for at least a couple weeks for that transition and, you know, just for that comfort level for them.
Yeah.
So what was it that drew your hearts to want to be part of the Midtown campus?
Well, for me, I love fellowship. Been coming here since I graduated college, okay? So almost 20 years, if not 20 years.
All right.
And didn't really get plugged into fellowship until I started volunteering. And that was until I was married and Clarissa was pushing me to volunteer. Mm. And then it kind of like opened up the doors for new relationships with other couples, just a whole different experience. So I encourage anyone and everyone, mm-hmm. young, old, to volunteer. It's a mm-hmm. it's a whole different
What was your level. First step into volunteering here on Sundays?
Third grade.
No. Back up. We did 3-year-olds when we had just had a baby because somebody convinced us, a good friend of ours, that we needed to know what the next phase of kids were.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That is not a good idea for somebody with a new baby. We did that season of 3-year-olds, yeah, and they were part training.
Before third graders?
I can tell 3-year-olds are close to your heart, and that was a great place for you to step in initially.
Oh, no. Third grade was first.
Third grade was first.
I got pregnant in third grade. Yes. Not in third grade. While we were teaching. That's one of those editing moments.
we were teaching
third grade, yeah. and we got pregnant while teaching third grade, and then that's when we jumped to
three-year-olds.
Because
the were awesome.
They were awesome.
Oh, that is such a good age. You're like, we can have kids.
We actually
have a third grader now, and it's funny to think about that. And like, we were mentoring third grade.
Were awesome. Yeah. Just a great bunch of girls, and we were like flying high.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we could do this. We could do any grade whatsoever, whatever age group. And then that's when we jumped off to 2 or 3-year-olds, and we were like,
"What just happened?" Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's a special talent.
So you guys sold your house. You lived with Mimi for 9 weeks. You eventually were able to find a house and bought a house in Midtown that was way different than your Chanel house, and you guys started to learn a new life. And it's kind of easy sitting here looking back and saying, okay, yeah, God did all this stuff. But while you're walking through it, it's not easy. There's lots of questions happening. You don't know what the next step is. You don't know what's around the next corner. What was God doing in your hearts this summer as you're sitting at Mimi's house waiting for the next step?
I think a lot of my doubts and fears probably stemmed from knowing we had just sold a really good house, a really easy house. Comfortable is a very big word. And then in the midst of living with Mimi and, just 1 or 2 rooms, I started realizing that we had a lot of stuff in that house that really wasn't a part of who we were. And so we really, I think that's where we started coming together closer as a family, the 4 of us, still with Mimi there, but just knowing that what God really gave us is this family. Mm-hmm. And he wants us to use this family. And we mentioned their ages. They're 9 and 6, and they're really they are the true light of God right now. We can see it in their eyes. We can see it in the way they treat other people and the way, even in their moments of fear. Our sweet little 6-year-old, she goes through a lot of, if it's going to happen to somebody in our family, it happens to her. And in this past year, she has learned to in her biggest heights of fear, she goes, I just need to pray. And that's not something we taught her. That's something she has either witnessed us do or witnessed somebody else do. And she means it with all her heart.
Yes,
and so it's just been such a growth stage through that summer. So every time I started not regret, but just wondering, was this the right way? It's, you just look at these kids and you think, what else can we do with them? And you ask, the biggest draw to Midtown with our kids going to school downtown in that Midtown area for 4 years now. I was interacting with other mothers, other families that I liked, and I love people, but it's I could never feel that connection of Jesus there. And so now thinking we could take this precious gift of what fellowship has done for so many West Little Rock families into a new part of the city that we know people, but we didn't go to church with. Mm-hmm. And so just imagining it, living these life experiences and in these rough stages, we could look at each other and say, this is hard. But there's something bigger. Mm-hmm. Jesus is bigger than all of this.
Well, and it's going to allow us, it's going to be a smaller congregation. It's really going to allow us to be more
intentional
and more personal with a lot more people within the congregation. Mm. And I'm really looking forward to that. That's one of my.
Yeah. How long have you guys been in your home now in Midtown?
4 months. Wow, already.
Four months. Wow. And if you're listening to this podcast and you don't know Little Rock at all, you really need to know that Midtown and West Little Rock are really only
5 miles
apart.
Mm-hmm.
But you guys were telling me that the culture between those 5 miles is very, very different.
Yeah.
Can you explain a little bit of what you've learned about Midtown culture being different?
So we live on a street. It's a cute little quaint street, and we have probably met everybody on this little street. And it's because the way it's designed, we don't have backyards.
Hmm.
Some people have like little patio backyards, but all of it's in the front yard. There's not really garages either. So you got the cars in the driveway. Mm-hmm. Hmm. You may have been listening to some of the past sermons over the season, and it's front yard living. It's our living room in this house is at the front of the house. And I mean, it's an old farmhouse, so there are big windows. And I joked, you could drive by at 6 o'clock any night and see what we're watching on TV. Cause I mean, we are right there in the middle of the community. One of the neighbors I'd never met just dropped off spiced pecans the other day. Mm. And I had to look up her name because it's still new to us. So we're mm-hmm. still, I'm like, that's just, well, that's neighborly.
Yeah. And I was out Sunday barbecuing chicken in 40 mile an hour wind, playing football in the front yard. And one of the neighbors from down the street that we hadn't met yet just stopped his car, got out, and was like, "Hey, I'm Van Smith, you know, mm-hmm. I'm your neighbor down around the corner." Mm-hmm. And I was like, "Man, it's so great to meet you." So, I mean, the block and the initial community that, mm-hmm. You can have that in West Little Rock as well, mm-hmm. but, things are designed a little bit different. The houses are designed different. And, you know, one of the lessons that that was taught here at Fellowship was talking about how houses are structured and mm-hmm. how new homes are more for living in the back of the house. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, that's the way our house was. I mean, mm-hmm. it was the back porch was huge. You know, the living room was in the back of the house. Everything's done up there, and it's not pushed forward to promote, you know, going outside or letting people know that you're even home. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, where we're at now, you know somebody's home. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's plainly obvious. So I just that interaction is just a little bit different there.
Yeah. I had another question I wanted to ask you guys just about this whole moving thing, right? A lot of people understand moving to be closer to family or relocating for a job. You guys moved because you want to be closer to your church and a bigger part of your church. How have you explained that to different people? Have you had questions about all that?
Yeah, the questions are great because we have no answers. It's, at the beginning, before we bought the house, where are you going? We don't know. You know, oh, you're moving for a church. Which church? Oh, Fellowship Midtown. Where is it at? We don't know. Who all's going? We don't know. When is it opening? We still, at that time, didn't know. Yeah. The January 13th was a big announcement. We're so excited. But, we just had to tell them that we're following a vision and we're following God. Mm-hmm. And we feel really, truly called to do this. And, you know, and what about your kids? How are your kids taking it? Oh, they love it. You know, they've mm-hmm. loved getting to experience this new church. The coolest thing about this Midtown launch team, I would say we knew less than half a dozen people when we had first met. And we learned that in the room. Nobody really knew each other. Mm-hmm. So the only thing that we had in common, well, two things, Jesus. And the second thing was we all lived in this area. Mm-hmm. And now we're like a little family of 100. And we've gotten to know new kids. Our kids have gotten to know new kids,
There's
new adults.
There's a camaraderie there that is just... so strong.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah.
It's amazing.
I think for your kids too, that's such a life lesson for them to see you guys step out in faith and follow where the Lord's leading and model that for them. Mm-hmm. I just think that's invaluable experience.
That's so cool. I mean, seeing it happen in 2018 in your life and seeing this visually happen is a story that God uses all throughout scripture too. Mm-hmm. Like he called Abraham out of the city of Ur where Abraham was established. He was a rich man. He was comfortable. All his family was there. And God says, "Hey, Abraham, go." Well, go where? You know, Abraham had 50 questions about what that meant, but go, I'll show you where we're going. Mm-hmm. Okay. The disciples, after Jesus went back to heaven and they were supposed to wait for the coming of the Holy Spirit, right? What does that mean? How long? When's this going to happen? What's it going to look like? There's lots of questions. We don't always have the answers to following God right in front of us. And that's what your story has impacted me the most is we don't have the answers, but we know God is calling, so we're going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And we're about to go into the big launch. You know, yes, we've been planning. We've got this launch team. But now that we can officially like say we're open, now starts kind of the hard part. You know, and I'm doing some women's ministry with Midtown Women, and that's one thing we like genuinely stop and pray for at least a good half of our meeting is, this has been fun, this has been encouraging, all these great things, but we're about to get into the hard season, because now we're going to actually start discipling to the unchurched, or to the lost, or the people that, you know, don't like corporate church. And that's where we're going to get into putting boots to the ground. And
And one thing, you know, going into this season, you know, just the Christmas season in general, it's a great time of year, but it's also, you know, getting towards the end of the year, you know, work-wise starts getting busy for a lot of us. You know, there's a lot of kid activities, and you can feel yourself starting to grind. And one thing that he's really been showing us is, you don't grind, you know, trust. So I've really had to take a step back, and getting away for Thanksgiving was awesome, and kind of helped me like reset myself, and say, hey, you know, God's in control. He has this. He's put us here for a reason, and he's not gonna let us go, and he's not gonna let this work not be complete. So yeah, there's a lot of work to do, but at the same token, I mean, we can really realize that it's not all on us. You know, he just wants to use us.
That's right. And there's so much more that you guys could share about what God's been doing in your heart. So I encourage the people of Fellowship, when you see them, when you meet them on Sundays, or you see them at Midtown, pull them aside and ask them some more questions. Yeah. Ask the McWhorters some questions about what God's doing and why they're doing this. So it's been so good having you guys on.
Thank you so much.
I just want to wrap up with just sharing a little bit more from you guys about the launch of the new campus of Fellowship Midtown. Tim Caldwell is the campus pastor for Fellowship Midtown, and we have Clint O'Kelly, who is going as the worship pastor for the new campus. You guys are part of the lay launch team, right?
That's correct.
So what, if you could ask the rest of Fellowship, Fellowship Espanol, Fellowship West Little Rock, Fellowship Benton, Fellowship Cabot, if you could ask the rest of us to pray for you and to pray for Fellowship Midtown, what would that be?
I tell you what, it would be that we would be courageous in going out and speaking to others. This church, you know, is going to have a melting pot full of different people from different areas of life and different walks of life. And we need to not just look at our same typical group of people that we like to talk to, and that we need to be courageous in having conversations and encouraging people to come into our homes. Come into our life, you know, you know, sit down at our table and let's get to know each other's families. And, and then, you know, then we can have that conversation of, hey, you know, we've got this thing going on over at the the Nazarene Church, and and bring them into the fold.
One of the prayers that I've consistently prayed, and especially in our women's ministry, is that when people walk through our doors, they see us as a people of love. That we are known by our love, not by any stereotypical, you know, rumor or, I mean, because there's people are shaking the ground over there. They see Fellowship trying to move in, and but all we want to be known as is for our love, and to find that one that would not have normally walked into a church had we not been or had a presence there. So, you know, we are over this Christmas season too, as our small groups. Within Midtown, we're also trying to just reach out and do some community work too, you know, all for God's glory, not for our glory, but for God's glory. And so that way, when the signs do go up and the doors open, they go, I know that church. I know those people.
And that we, you know, as a small startup group, as the X team of Midtown, you know, that we grow closer together, you know, just that it's so tight and just a in flow with what God's desire is for this.
That's great. That's great. So Fellowship Midtown officially launches on January 13th. Services are going to be weekly on Sunday nights at 5 o'clock. And right now, Fellowship Midtown will be meeting at the First Church of the Nazarene in Midtown. So we're looking forward to what God's doing. This whole time we've been saying we're going to where God is already working, and we want to be a part of what he's doing. So McWhorters, thank you for coming today to Fellowship Talks to share what God's doing in your heart and your steps of faith that you've taken. This is really good.
Thank you.
It's really good. Amy, I'm excited about Fellowship Midtown.
Me too.
We're actually 1 month from the launch right now.
Yeah, it'll be good to see what what God does in this next season.
1 month from the launch of Fellowship Midtown, 2 weeks until Christmas. Mm-hmm. Get your presents ready.
Yes.
Listen to our Christmas episode next week. Mm-hmm. Clarissa McNeil,
the singer,
will be with us, and Joel Pfeiffer from the Benton campus will be with us. Uh-huh. It's going to be a fun episode as we sing and have a good time talking about Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Looking forward to it.
Well, until next time, Fellowship, I'm Dan.
And I'm Amy.
For As You Go, this is Fellowship Talk.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Fellowship Talks. We hope this podcast will help you be a more effective disciple of Jesus Christ as you love God and you love others in your daily context. Fellowship Bible Church exists to make disciples who live by God's grace and for His glory at home and across the world.